Hello, EastEnders fans. Just a quick thing before we start this week's episode. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to apologise for some audio issues that are in this week's episode. This thing, my microphone, decided not to connect when we were on Zoom, and I didn't realise this until I was in the editing process, and by then there was nothing I could do about it. So unfortunately, it does sound a little bit like I'm on the phone on my side. Ree's side worked fine, my side not so much. So apologies for that. Hope it doesn't affect your enjoyment of this week's episode too much. Right, on with the podcast. Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 13th to the 16th of May, 2024. Hello, how are you this week? Are you well recovered from this week? It was quite a busy one, wasn't it? Hello, Ree, how are you? Are you all right this week?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you, Rob? I'm dying to know. Rob said he has some news. But and he's going to wait until we're recording to share it, and I'm dying to know what it is.
The YouTube way. You can't possibly do anything off camera. It's the YouTube ways. It's all got to be off camera. That's
live
the way.
Live reactions.
So, I've got a very exciting trip coming up in a few months, okay? I am taking a two-week break. It's all been booked. I'm going to Asia for 2 weeks. I was born, my mum has always wanted to take me back to Kowloon in Hong Kong where I was born. My mum and dad were in the army when I was born, in case you weren't aware. So that's why I was born there. In the middle of a Category 5 typhoon, by the way. I had arrived. Oh yeah, like massive typhoon / hurricane blowing
around.
I had arrived. You know, the month I was born, right? So there was that Category 5 typhoon as I was being born. The stock markets crashed the week I was born, I think. And then the Great Storm of 1987, which hit the UK and basically wrecked it. That happened that month as well. Oh, bitch, I'd arrived. But, so, in October, I am going to fly to Hong Kong, which is, by the way, it's a 12-hour flight. That's going, as a vapor. I'm a very heavy vapor. I don't mind admitting it. And if you don't think that I'm going to be wrapped up with nicotine patches like Mr. Bump, then you have another thing coming.
But I thought you were going to say, if you don't think I'm not going to be in that toilet vapor, I'm like, right, go at you then.
I wouldn't say that on camera. To be fair, I think you're more likely to get arrested that way. Yeah. But that it doesn't end there. So we spend a few days in Hong Kong, then we're flying to Japan for a few days.
Piss off.
Exactly. Sorry. And then after we've been in Japan for a bit, we're going to Singapore for a few days, where we'll eventually fly home.
Awesome.
Trip of a lifetime, right?
I'm wild jealous.
It's awesome. Going to be amazing. I'm really excited. Awesome. Slash slightly nervous, because that I've never been that far away before. Like, I've done a bit of travelling around Europe, but like that's another level.
Japan is on my... I really want to go to Japan.
I never thought I was going to go to Japan. Like, Japan is a holiday in itself, isn't it? Like, that's a trip all on its own. So just to kind of... I'll just go to Japan while I'm here. Madness. So yeah, that's happening in October. So that's just 4 months away. So that is happening.
Oh, I hope there's no big activities on EastEnders happening while you're away.
If you're listening, producers of EastEnders, if you could avoid any sort of massive events happening in around October time, the middle of October, that would be great. If you got some sort of like meh, throw them in October, that would be great.
I'm trying to think if there would be anything that... Who knows? We just don't know.
Long time till then. 4 months. We've got a long time in Soapland, isn't it? Mm. So, yeah, that's happening. So I'm very, very excited about that. So I might take my camera. I might take a camera on my phone with me and sort of do a... Would it be rubbish to do like do a little episode of Rob's Adventure in Asia? Is that crap?
A vlog? Yeah,
do it. Should I do that?
Do a vlog, yeah.
Rob's Adventures in Asia. That's a spin-off of his own. Tell you. So, yeah, very excited about that. Meanwhile, in Soapland, not in Asia, in London, in Walford, like I say, quite a busy week, a compact week. Only three stories to discuss this week, but all three of them were quite a lot, which was good. One of those weeks that sort of keeps your attention throughout all the stories that are going on. So I was really enjoying it this week. And we have finally met Junior. Junior has arrived, and he is quite the character, isn't he? To say the least. So I think we'll start off this week with talking about Junior. So let's get on with this week's
Albert Square After Dark.
So let's kick off this week. We're talking about the night and the arrival of Junior Knight. Little Miss Smug over here predicting the way that he was going to be brought in. Proud of yourself, are you? Proud of yourself.
I'm so proud of myself. I love it when I get it right. Yeah.
You did, by far. Yes. Yeah, I would. So the week sort of begins with Elaine sort of fresh from what she learned the previous week about Cindy and George's kiss. And she's sort of gone away for the weekend, sort of try and get her head around it. She returns and George basically doesn't notice that she even went away because he's busy distracting himself with a little model aeroplane for Ollie's birthday that he doesn't even finish off. Poor Ollie. Poor Ollie. Growing up in that sort of mad environment. I feel sorry for poor Ollie. So we kind of learn that this fight is still kind of kicking off. He hasn't sort of turned, even though he's been told that if he does it, he'll probably die. That isn't enough for George to say, no. Do you know what? Probably not the best idea I've ever had.
Well, this is why I think it's like an addiction, because it's a bit like when people drink alcohol and they get told, well, if you keep drinking, you're going to die, and they keep doing it.
So it's not scared.
Yeah. It's an addiction, isn't it, in that respect? It is. Surely.
And it's a thought, I suppose, in George's head, it's sort of an outlet for all of his internalised anger and sort of regret.
The only
way
he knows
kind of
how
thing.
To deal with things, isn't it, George?
You get punished for the things that you regret by being punched, and you let out the things you're angry about by punching somebody else, I'm assuming, is the sort of choreography of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
But Elaine, obviously, knowing that this kiss went on, wants Cindy like well away from the situation until she sort of realises, well, wait, she's the only one that really knows where this fight is kicking off, so I suppose I need to sort of involve her a little bit more. Meanwhile, Anna is frantically ringing Junior to try and get him to sort of get in contact in any way just to distract George from what's going on. She doesn't think that Junior's picked up these calls. However, Junior is well aware of the situation because we go to the fight night. Elaine, Cindy and the girls arrive at the venue. It's a mad old smoky place with lots of men shouting abuse at each other and this bare-knuckle fight about to kick off.
George is
ready to go.
The testosterone in that room. Oh, wow, bouncing off the walls, weren't it?
Must have stank in that room of Lynx Africa and sweat and testosterone.
Beer.
And beer. Fight. And George is presented with his opponent because apparently his opponent that he was supposed to be fighting has dropped out. And there before him stands Junior Knight, who apparently has planned all of this. Now, my question, I don't quite know how this happened. Like, how did Junior plan this exactly? I mean, it was a good little twist, and I liked it. I liked the way he was sort of revealed.
It weren't that much for a twist if you'd predicted that it were going to happen.
It wasn't for you. It wasn't for you, Sherlock Holmes. But, you know, for some people, no, it was genuinely a surprise.
I was pondering this, and I thought, did George Jr. pay the other guy to drop out
possibly,
or something? Because he's quite well off, isn't he? We're getting the impression that he's got quite a bit of money. So
did he do that
or did he just tell him straight and be like, look, this is the plan, right? I'm going to get my first ever duff. So can you just step down and let me take this one? Because
Senior. I'm on the actual contract, so you need to move aside so I can have this duff. Thank you very much.
or he went in and said, I'm his son. Drop the other guy. You can have, you know, George Knight versus George Knight. Maybe it's something like that.
Knight versus Knight. Well, it doesn't play out the way that all the people around them are wanting it to do, because they've obviously all got bets on who's going to win and all that kind of thing. George takes one look at Junior and is like, well, I can't kill you, so that's unfortunate. So I guess this fight is cancelled.
Not that he was going to kill him, but it can't injure him, can he?
No. So they then have to sort of fight their way out of this venue because everyone's like, what about our money? You tell I know what I'm talking about? I 100% do.
Yeah.
Basically my lifestyle. I understood every single thing that was going on in this scenery.
Could relate.
And so they basically have to fight their way out of this. Eventually, kind of punch their way out of this. We think, is that the end of the fighting thing for George now? Has he been suitably distracted away from it all, do we think? Are we not going to discuss this again?
Yeah.
I think this is done now, isn't it?
I think the fight club was just there so that we could have that moment with George Jr. Turning up, to be honest.
Of course it was, Story-wise, I imagine it's the end of it. But I don't know whether, do you think that George would, that would be enough for George to sort of walk away from it?
Yeah,
at this moment?
I think that's it now. I think that's the end of George and fighting,
Yes, well, so George and Junior go back to the square together, and George, I think, is just still a bit unsure about how to approach Junior and how to deal with the situation that he's suddenly been thrust back into his life again. The Junior kind of takes that as, well, clearly he's not still interested, see you later, bye. Then goes over to Peggy. Not a pairing I saw coming, I'll admit that.
As a 30-second chat with Bianca.
even that, I was sort of like, but Bianca is just fresh out of an argument with Whitney, which we'll discuss later. But the pair of them, Bianca and Junior, find themselves kind of meeting up. I mean, the whole thing was very, it was almost like a business transaction, the way these two ended up in bed together. It was kind of like, oh, you're suffering. Yeah, I'm suffering. Oh, right, it's your parents. Your family. Yeah, okay, cool.
Let's go.
Guess we'll go shag then, shall we? Yeah. It's as simple as that. what is revealed at the end of my episode is, I was a bit confused about how this is what making me think there's something a bit more going on with Junior at the moment that we are being led to believe. Because at the moment we're sort of being led to believe that he's some sort of, you know, serial cheat, Lothario sort of bloke. But just the way that it's sort of like, the fact that he's so blatant about it, and B, the fact that his missus and his son picked him up essentially from Bianca's house.
I thought
it was a
daughter.
No, that's his missus. No, so...
kid in the back I thought was a daughter, not a son. But
that is Xavier.
Oh,
we've got the name Xavier, I always say. Did you say Xavier?
Called Xavier.
Oh, they named him wrong. Xavier, I don't know. But anyway, Xavier Knight is the son. And right, his partner, I don't know whether it's his wife yet. I don't think we've learned that yet, but it's definitely his partner. Monique Knight. What excellent names, can we just say? I mean, it's no Jazzy Phoenix, but Xavier Knight and Monique Knight. I like that. Yeah. That's good names. So they essentially pick him up, essentially, from Bianca's. So I was kind of like, wait, is this an open relationship or something like that?
I know,
like
I thought
like,
that, because it was so obvious. He, like, walked out of someone else's house.
Why is he walking out of
that
house?
To car. But then I thought, what if he's separated from her, but they, like, have some co-parent arrangement? But then he put his wedding ring back on.
Yes, so he was kind of hiding that back. So it's not that open, is it?
Yeah.
So he's maybe just been doing this for so long, he's not even that careful anymore, and she just doesn't care, or something. I think we've got a lot to explore with Junior. There's a lot to
And then later in the week, he looks like he's starting to try and chat Chelsea up as well.
It says to Bianca, let's just call that off there and then, shall we? But then it's immediately coming on to Chelsea. So
yeah, exactly.
Who is this bloke?
He's a wrong'un, if you ask me.
He's a wrong'un. Yeah, so like we say, he kind of returns to the square. Go on.
Oh, sorry, also, what are his wife and kid doing here? Has he been living in Dubai all this time and they've all flown over together?
There's a lot of questions.
Or have they been based in the UK and he's just not told anyone? Because he's already been to the funeral, which was, a couple of weeks ago as well?
A couple of weeks ago. So he's
been flying to and forth, or has he been... Yeah, so he's been back that entire time.
No, I mean, you would think that he's been back in the country ever since the funeral, at the very least. So he's been back a couple of weeks.
How did he find out about the funeral if he didn't even know that Eddie were in prison?
That's true.
Until he got to the funeral.
That's true. Unless maybe
who told him?
Did Anna tell him that, like, during the message?
No, because
But George was leaving messages, wasn't he?
She didn't find out that the funeral had happened until after, though. And none of them could find out any information about it. Unless they told him that she'd died before and then he somehow found out about the funeral.
Maybe.
Uncle Gordon, I don't know.
Maybe Uncle Gordon. Uncle Gordon
we'll
knows
say
all.
Uncle we'll, Gordon. Go.
We'll say Uncle Gordon.
Tell Junior. Yeah.
He's been to the funeral and everything, which is, and then he discovers that Eddie was arrested, and he's sort of like, "Well, why has my granddad been arrested?" So I think these questions sort of push him forward into seeing George again, and the pair of them do have a sort of conflab about what exactly has been going on, and George tells him all about what's been going on with Eddie. And Junior is kind of quite horrified by the whole thing. But there is still, throughout the whole thing, this sort of resentment between the two of them that, again, I think we've got some more to discover.
From more Junior towards George.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely hates him, doesn't he?
In many ways, but then
hates him,
can't hate him that much. Can't hate him that much, otherwise he wouldn't have come back to save him from the fight.
There is that. He does keep making out that he did it for the girls, but... But this is flesh and blood at end of day, isn't it?
Yeah,
you don't want to see
exactly.
Him. Yeah.
And there's an element, I think, of him that wanted to be the bigger person, even just in a competitive sense. Like, well, you might not be able to do it, but I can. This is how you be a decent human being, Dad. So I think there's a lot to unpack between those two still to come. We've only just started sort of getting to know Junior, and he seems a complex person, I would argue. I think it's a lot more.
I've just clicked something. Do you reckon George Senior? Do you think he cheated on George Junior's mum,
possibly.
Something. So that's
possibly.
How like
he was
Junior's
19.
Justifying what he does or something like that.
Well,
because he was
George...
looking out for George. He was like, it was almost like he was watching to see if he'd cheat on Elaine, almost like when he saw him and Cindy
like
having that
like
conversation.
Some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we learned that George was 19 when Junior was born. And I think the general idea we're supposed to get from that is that George was sort of like, well, I can't do that. See you later. And then just sort of walked out. So they've had little to no relationship, essentially. They've sort of kind of come into contact with each other a little bit sporadically over the years, but there's never been really a strong connection between them. Enough for the girls to sort of know about him and know who he is and sort of be able to recognise him. So there's been some contact there.
They said, I remember, I think it was last week, they said something about he was about 20 and he was just bothered about getting girls in Marbella. So I don't know if he lived with them all in Marbella or he used to visit them at some point.
I think it
were implied that he'd never met Cindy before as well.
Mm. So there's been a gap. There's been a big gap since they've seen each other, I think. So young enough for the girls remember him. But maybe he came around after Cindy had left, I think, maybe is probably more likely.
Possibly, yeah, maybe.
And that's probably, I think he probably would have come along again for the girls to recognise him. They'll have to have been old enough to recognise him. So he's clearly come across to see them in the time that after Cindy had left. So it's all very kind of tightly sort of knotted around, but it does sort of work. And then, so as we say, he's got this idea already that Cindy is sort of interested in George again and kind of senses that George is interested in Cindy. And he's almost looking for signs. And let's be fair here, Cindy and George are giving them away like sweets at a corner shop, aren't they? Because he sort of sees them sort of being quite intimate with each other, like Cindy touching his cheek and all that kind of thing, and then just gives his dad a look like, told you. Like father, like son, So Junior's kind of got an idea of what's going on now between George and Cindy. And obviously the other person that had a whole better idea about what was going on was Elaine. And Elaine at the end of the week has sort of held on to this, what she knows, whilst everything was going on. And then eventually she sort of sits George down and goes, right, okay, I know what went on. You better explain yourself to me. And I think George just doesn't really give her that much of a good enough explanation. And she goes, right, off you go, see you later. And effectively seems to end their relationship there and then and chucks him out the Vic. Now, I don't think this is a permanent thing. I think Elaine will come round again. But
I'm so impressed with Elaine.
Great scene for Elaine,
she's normally just be someone who'll brush it under the carpet, have a little cackle, give some drinks away, and crack on as though nothing's happened.
I think that was quite a telling little speech you gave to the girls this week when they were talking, when she was talking. She's very good at sort of putting this mask on. In that classic landlady way, you know, this is the sort, that is from the school of landladies that the likes of Angie, Bet Lynch, you know, that's the same school of thought that they always came from. Peggy always put a mask on. So that's all about performing to the punters. You're basically on stage.
She literally
when you're
said it
that
as
bar.
Well. Yeah, exactly. I liked that. She said that quite a few times that this is just a stage. I think that is something that people do tend to do in jobs, isn't it? Like, you act like...
Oh,
right, 100%, today I'm a supervisor, or today I'm a librarian, or I don't know. Because you kind of have to change your personality tailored to your job. So it makes sense that, she's mastered it, hasn't she? She's been doing it for many years, as you can see.
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't. I tell it to work if I'm in a mood and someone goes, you're all right. No, bastard. Don't bother with the mask.
No,
you know, why would you?
Don't talk to me.
No, piss off. Leave me alone. Why would you?
Well, no, that's true, though, to be fair. Imagine going into Queen Vic and being like, hi, Yuri, can I have a pint? You all right? Yeah, actually,
then,
if you're going to ask me, no, I'm not all right.
But then, to be fair, in the job that I do, I don't get the profit. I just get paid for turning up, you know, so it's not exactly the same, is it? You know, Elaine needs to have that mask on, because otherwise the Vic doesn't earn money and then for she doesn't earn
money. It doesn't earn any money anyway, because all she does is give drinks away, you know?
Drinks all the Irish cream. Oh, bless her. But yeah, she's effectively seems to have chucked George out now. So, but yeah, that last scene was excellent. I think Elaine had a great week this week, I have to say.
She had a moment with Linda as well, where Linda were talking about Whitney and Mick kissing. And
yeah, that I think was what pushed her into doing what she did by the end of the week. Like, even if pissed Linda's giving her logic, then she knows that her life is a bit of a mess at the moment. So she sort of takes that on board and it's like, do you know what? Yes, I have got more self-respect than this. But how long that self-respect remains to be seen. You know, I can sort of see them being back together again by this time next week, but...
George has been a right dick to her lately.
He was.
We seem to have sworn in this episode. Sworn
a lot.
So
apologise. I'll put an E on the audio thing. It'll be fine. It's after dark. Well, it's fine. It's after dark.
Like, well, she said, did you even notice our away? And you were like, oh, I think Linda said something. It's like, how did you not notice that she's been gone all weekend and not get in touch with her and ask her something? I'm just really proud of her for knowing her worth as Elaine.
She did. And I think she had a really, really strong character moment there. It was a nice revealing week for Elaine. And I'm really kind of interested to sort of see where this is going forward. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the Cindy and Elaine dynamic, which I love, by the way. I love this feud that's sort of developing. Yeah. I can't wait for them to have their first proper cat fight, because I think both of them have sort of been holding back a little bit from going at each other, because they clearly both want to rip each other's eyes out.
I don't think they would have a fight.
Oh, of course they would. Of course they would. This is your classic. We've spoken about Kat and Sharon being the Pat and Peggy of the situation. But there's also been comparisons between Elaine and Cindy about being Pat and Peggy, you know, and down to the fact that Peggy is the landlady and Elaine is the landlady. So, but I can't see the friend situation developing out of Elaine and Cindy. That's the difference.
No. I think Elaine's too dignified to get into a scrap. Cindy, God, she'd be a right dirty fighter. Cindy would. She'd be pulling her hair out and all sorts.
We've seen Elaine slap people before. Not this iteration, but, you know, Elaine slapped Babe back in the day when she had that one night stand with her boyfriend.
That's a different character.
But I can see them having that. But I'm really sort of intrigued to see this feud between them develop. I really am. I'm really looking forward to watching it.
She's going to tell Ian.
Well, I mean, I think that will be the next best weapon, I think, she has. Because Cindy, I think, has got more to lose than Elaine has at this moment. And I think the girls are a little bit sort of like thinking that George needs to pull his act together. So they might side with Elaine a little bit.
I feel like Ian would just be like, oh, well, don't do it again, Cindy.
No, of course he would. Of course he would. Frankly, I would be. I think Ian's reaction would be, I'm amazed it's taken this long for us to have this conversation.
Any minute now.
This is where Ian's been. This is why we have to think about Ian recently, because he's been on the side of the scenes going, any minute now. So, I mean, the other thing, talking of any minute now, technically George has been thrown out. What's his next move, do we think? Is he going to try and work his way back in the lane? Where's he going to stay, I wonder?
Phil's. Do you reckon we'll wait?
It could be Phil. That would make sense for it to be Phil's. It would make a lot of sense for it to be Phil's. However, there's a side of me that can sort of see Monday's episode opening with George asleep on the sofa and Ian waking up the next day and going, oh, why are you here? Cindy's just let him in through the back door.
That's what I were initially thinking, but then I thought, surely George has got more sense than to not go You'd think. Phil's would make sense. Phil's got plenty of room. He's only got Denise and Raymond there.
Bags of room. Phil's got.
He's got a
bit. We shall wait and see how that all plays out. But yeah, the whole thing with Junior, really, really interesting. He's no angel by the looks
of
things.
Don't like him in a good way.
Yeah. So we've got a lot to discover with him. We've got to meet Monique, who I have to think is a stunning name. I'm really looking forward to sort of seeing what Monique's going to bring to the situation. And yeah, let's see what plays out. More to come for the night, big time. Big time. Let's watch that. Right, ladies and gents. Next story is Nugget and Denzel and Amy. Right, on to Denzel and Nugget and Amy now. And they had quite a week. So Denzel is continuing doing this collab stuff with this little mare called Ebony.
She's not nice, is she? She's horrible.
Horrible.
Is she meant to be the same age as her?
I think she's a little bit older.
Because Amy said she went to like King Edward's school or something, didn't she? So she'll still be at school.
You can't imagine. Like, she's that glamorous. You can't imagine her being a schoolgirl, really, can you? No, she's one of them. I mean, I'm the same. You can't imagine me ever going to school because I was such a glam child.
No.
And so this collabing stuff is kind of continuing, and Amy has been kind of really put out by the situation, understandably. No more so when Lily turns around to her and goes, you do realise that he's sending pictures of himself to girls at school. Which, the more this kind of story is continuing, we know that the steroids are kind of slowly taking effect on Denzel. We're being told that he's getting a sort of a lot more hench and he's acting more like a dick in sort of day-to-day life, isn't he, really? So you can totally, like, even though he denies that completely when Amy confronts him, you're kind of like, yes, you are, Denzel. You're totally doing that. Yes, you are, because you're after that. He's after that gratification, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, So meanwhile, Patrick and Yolandi have gone away because they had that two-hander, so the pair of them need a rest. But yeah, they were talking also, for a whole half an hour.
Let's just leave Denzel in house on his own in the middle of well, like important year at school and...
Oh, welcome to that. Denzel was kind of like, go on, please, trust me, just this once. Just this once, and Yolandi's sort of like, all right, then I will trust you. Terrible decision. Because instantly, as soon as they're gone, there's a party going on at the Truman residence.
Well, yeah, it's a teenager, what do you expect?
Well, exactly. I mean, Ebony is actually the one that organises this party. I don't think Denzel was thinking about it at first. I mean, I'm sure a party of some description would have occurred at some point during their holiday, but night one, Ebony's like, oh, you've got a free house? Marvellous. Just invite all my friends to your house. So you don't know them or anything. Bag. So meanwhile, Amy's kind of got it into her head that, right, well, clearly I need to kind of keep Denzel's attention here. So she decides that the way to do this is to have sex with him for the first time. Now.
And she sees Ebony buying the condoms in.
Oh, she sees Ebony buying the condoms. So it's kind of like, well, I need to get in there first. Now, I don't know why I thought this, but I assumed that this had already happened. I don't know why.
No, because if you remember, they contemplated it for 2 seconds and then I think
that's why when I thought that they'd done it, because I think at the time we were sort of thinking there's going to be an underage pregnancy storyline with Amy, so I think that's kind of just decided in my head then that they had already slept together, but they haven't, and this is going to be the first time that they do it. You kind of got a nice little bit of information from Penny. Well, you do realize this is an offense. See, now where are you on the whole sort of like showing underage people having sex in a storyline on a soap? Because I'm of the opinion that yes, it's illegal, yes, it's an offence, but it happens, so what's the point in denying that it happens, you know?
Well, yeah, it does happen. Why exactly saying it?
No, I mean, I'm just sort of like, you know, drug lord Penny.
Oh, well, probably she would just it's probably one of those things where they have to just remind her,
they have to just like, remind,
you know,
her
it is an offence, you shouldn't do it. If there's any teenagers watching,
don't
probably
do it.
Helpful,
but anyway.
Well, it is an offence, to be fair, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen, does it?
No, I know. I'm always of the opinion that... No, I saw a couple of people kind of going on about, you know... There's always someone about this sort of thing. And I was sort of like, yeah, but it happens, you know, like, especially more and more these days, I think it's perfectly...
Oh, I think it's less and less. I thought the age got a bit later now, yeah. I don't know.
Both of us making up statistics that we've got no idea whether they're true. We're far too old. We don't even have sex anymore. We're that old.
Oh, Jesus.
So basically, Amy arrived at this party, packed with condoms. She's got the condoms ready to go in her handbag. She takes Denzel upstairs. Now, one of the side effects of steroid use is that occasionally your little soldier will not stand to attention. And that's exactly what Denzel experiences. Now, obviously, his thinking is, well, I can't tell her that it's because I'm taking steroids.
Yeah.
So when Amy literally gives him the excuse on a plate, is it because of my scars? He goes, yeah, that'll do. Yes. So obvious. I mean, absolute dick move from Denzel, in all fairness.
Absolute.
There's no sort of forgivable way of phrasing that. He was not a good moment for Denzel at that moment. Amy sort of flees in tears. Now, meanwhile, Nugget downstairs is... And this is what I was saying about Nugget this last week, you know, sort of he's getting rejected. He's not getting a lot of interest. He's feeling let out. I still don't think that what I said I'd like to happen is going to happen, but it's the start.
Do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised, actually. I was thinking it this week. I also went down a bit of a rabbit hole last week after you explained the incel stuff, and I was like, because I've heard
told you about doing
before.
That, Ray. It's dark and it's deep. Be careful.
I'd heard the term before, and I knew of Andrew Tate, but I didn't really understand it until you were talking last week. And actually, given what happened this week, that would be a good way for the Nugget thing to go.
Twitter seems to be under the impression that Nugget's actually secretly gay.
Oh, I've seen a few people saying
that. Yeah, I'm not convinced by this. I don't think it is. I don't think he is. Because they seem to think that he's idolising Denzel to the point where sort of like he's mirroring him and everything, and I'm not convinced by this.
No, I think that they're all making out that he follows him round when he's actually just trying to hang around with his mate.
Trying to make out
like he's being a lost puppy. He's not. He's just trying to hang around with his mate. He's always been hanging around with his mate. It's don't let people Ebony are making them feel head, bad people. About it. Yeah,
don't
isn't
let
it?
Ebony get in your
Ebony's
head.
Ebony's influencing what, you all too
Ebony
much.
Ebony giving it all this. Ebony giving it all that. Don't let her get into your head. No.
God, wait. Imagine. So it does end up going that way. We'll be like, oh.
Oh, right, fair. Yeah, well.
Right, okay. We didn't see that.
We obviously recognised all the signs, but we didn't want to seem smug too much, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's where it's going. No. I think what is going to happen, because Denzel Nugget by the end of the, well, a lot happened with Nugget this week, which I enjoyed because I love Nugget. But he, you know, after Amy sort of ran out upset, Nugget kind of gets a bit bored of getting rejected and being ignored at his party. So he kind of strolls out as well. And the pair of them end up with McClunkies together. And Amy's really nice to him at the start and says what a nice guy he is and how it's lovely that he hasn't changed and all that kind of thing. And Nugget kind of takes this as, oh, well, I guess that means I can kiss you then. And then sort of there was that sort of teenage awkwardness that, you know, right. a lot of us experience at some point as a teenager.
See, I understand.
You understood all that, did you? Yeah. What is English? You understood it.
I understood why Nugget interpreted Amy as wanting him to kiss her. I actually saw that. I was more surprised that it wasn't Amy who went to try and kiss Nugget.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, but this is all about... Okay,
obviously, I know that wasn't the intention and that it was she was probably just being nice to him and that we could see that there was some confusion and all. But yeah, I'm just saying, I can see why he thought that that's what she was maybe wanting a kiss.
You know what complex creatures you women are.
Well, teenagers though as well, isn't it? Full
exactly,
stop.
Yeah. It's all very black and white.
I just felt really sorry for... I feel really
so
sorry
I.
for... Nugget and Amy. Yeah. I don't feel sorry for Nugget now, though, after how he behaved afterwards.
I kind of got it. There wasn't a second of me that believed that Nugget was going to be completely honest with Denzel about what happened. Why would you in that situation if you're Nugget? You know, you're already being rejected. You're already, nobody really wants it. You're already getting the impression that your mate doesn't really want you around at the moment because you've got this pretty new collab person doing all these videos with you who already is kind of chattering in Denzel's ear about him being in the way and how he's following him around constantly. So I kind of understood Nugget's motivations of going, oh yeah, and Amy tried to kiss me. I got that, you know, it was unfortunate. It wasn't a great thing for him to do, but I sort of understood it. So Denzel, as a result of that, furiously dumps Amy. And then as a result of that, Amy gives it to Nugget with both barrels and says some stuff to him that I think really,
really
kind of
harsh.
Sticks to him. Really harsh. I mean, you know, understandable because of the situation, really kind of harsh words saying that he's basically nothing and that, you know, even Denzel doesn't really want to speak to him. You're nothing compared
and
to Denzel.
And they all laugh behind his back.
Yeah, like I really felt for him this week. I really, really did. I know he didn't go about anything the right way, but I felt for him. I did.
So did I, but also poor Amy in all of this.
Yeah, poor Amy. You know, Amy wins. Don't get me wrong. But...
I know. I don't know. It's fair though because Amy was particular, and Penny when she went in on him as well. They were being particularly harsh, but. He did tell quite a big lie.
He did. A whopping great fib.
And there was no need for it, really.
No. And by the end of the week, Nugget has turned around to Denzel and said, so those steroid things that I said were really, really bad, well, I think I've changed my mind and I think I'd like some, please. So, and we don't really know whether Denzel is going to give them to him or not, and I've got no idea what happens with this story next. So where do you think this is going to go from here? Do you think he's going to get some steroids?
I think Denzel will give them to him because he'll end up he'll say, I don't want to, and then Nugget will just bribe him and blackmail him and say, well, if you don't, I'll tell everyone that you're taking him, so you better give him some. I just thought it'd be interesting if Denzel pretended to give him to Nugget and actually just gave him
some vitamin tablets
or something. Yeah. And then he's getting all placebo effect to it, Nugget.
Look at me. Yeah, that could work. I don't think Denzel will do that, though. I think that would be the sensible thing to do in the situation. Just give him some, you know, sort of Muppet vitamins or something in place of the steroids. But, yeah, I mean, I think where this storyline is now going to go is that Denzel is sort of, he's acting like an arse throughout the whole thing. But I think he's sort of got the level right where he's physically having an effect. I mean, there's still, I think, a bit of a road to go for Denzel yet. But I think Nugget will immediately have a bad effect. And I think that will sort of snap Denzel back in some sense. I think that's more where it might go, but
or it'll just be that Ravi finds him or something, and then like gives him both barrels about why not to do it.
I mean, this is the thing with Nugget, though. I mean, if you... He is surrounded by quite a bit of toxic masculinity at the moment. You know, you've got Nish as a grandfather, and let's talk about Nish's attitude towards women in general, you know. Then you've got Ravi, who is, I wouldn't say necessarily toxic towards... Well, he is a bit toxic towards women at times.
He's had his moments.
He's had his moments, let's be fair here. But he's also, you know, he's very sort of hench and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, completely.
But he's very sort of muscly you know, sort of testosterone-filled and everything. Like, you know, when Denzel and Nugget had that row a few weeks back, his response in a quite a filled type way was, right, for the boxing den with you, off we go, let's punch this out, let's punch this anger out. So he's got a lot of sort of testosterone flying around his immediate sort of periphery as Nugget. So I think that this is going to slowly start having an impact that he thinks this is what he needs to be like in order to sort of succeed in life. So it's interesting. I'm really, really pleased to see Nugget getting a story like this. It's good stuff.
Or are we just going to have two roided up teenage boys roaming Albert Square causing mischief?
Possibly.
For a while.
In a month's time, it's going to be like the new Mitchell brothers have taken over the square.
Yeah. Could be.
Could be. Right, final storyline of the week, ladies and gents. And this is Whitney and Lauren and Zach and Bianca. Now, the night of the hen slash stag do has arrived. And Whitney wants to get everything ready for the wedding. So Bianca and Brittany decide to kind of go out, sort of see what they can find. Now, I will say, Whitney, I would argue, didn't really want all that much if they were literally nicking stuff off Billy's stall. And that's
why did she want that vase for a wedding?
Why did she want that vase? What's that vase for?
I don't get it.
Wedding gifts, was that what they were getting? Even then,
yeah, no, you're meant to get people a gift at weddings. You don't give out gifts at a wedding if you're getting married.
Yeah, I don't get what the vase was for at all. But that is a hideous vase as well. So why Whitney wanted that, I do not know. But either way, Brittany sort of reverts back to form and then sort of, well, at first you kind of think that she's just kind of going to do Billy over and sort of swap the tags around, which we've all done. Let's not pretend. All of us have gone into a shop at some point and gone, yoink. And if you haven't, you haven't lived.
Halfway?
I know for a fact you have, Reese. You can get that hair off your head.
Dear?
Yes. So at first, Bianca's like, well, that's all right. Yeah, you can do that. That's okay. Because she's trying to disencourage Brittany from stealing. But in the end, Brittany just kind of goes, oh, I'll have that as well, swipe, and sort of nick something else. And then they present Whitney with all this sort of paraphernalia that they've sort of presented to her in front of the table. And Brittany sort of lets slip that, yeah, some of that's nicked. And Whitney's not happy about that. Especially his cross with Bianca for allowing it to happen.
Why did Bianca allow it to happen then, if she's always been quite big on telling her own kids to not do it?
She hasn't, let's not pretend, because this is Bianca we're talking about. I mean, now and again, Bianca will have those sorts of moments where, no, that's wrong, and we need to stop people thinking that we're like that. But then Bianca will go and nick something quite happily. So I think there's sort of situational awareness when it comes to that sort of
context.
Thing as Bianca. Yeah.
Depends the reason behind it.
Yeah. So Whitney kind of goes mad at Bianca and decides that she doesn't want Bianca to be the maid of honour anymore. So places this honour at Lauren's table.
I was surprised that she was going to be maid of honour anyway. I thought that she'd ask her to give her away or something.
Yeah, that would probably make more sense. Maybe that is eventually what will happen. Because I think by the end of the week, Bianca and Whitney are absolutely fine. So that's probably what's going to happen. But sort of the immediate demotion kind of, I think, annoys Bianca to the point where she turns around to Lauren and goes, right, so if you don't tell Whitney what went on between you and Zach, I will. And you need to do it before this party starts. So Lauren's sort of like, turns around to Zach. Zach has now by this point reached a point where Whitney doesn't need to know. Nothing needs to be revealed to Whitney whatsoever. Nothing happened. And if you say that it did, I'm going to deny it. So that's up to you. If you want to make yourself look stupid, knock yourself out, love.
Oh, Zach, honestly.
Well, I mean, yeah. But then at the same time, like, would there be any point in telling Whitney at this point, do you think? If both of them regret it. I'm not saying that they did it right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending them. But, like,
it's the timing, isn't it? Like, she was heavily pregnant and then she's just had a kid. Like, is now the right time? But
also,
she's about to get married to him. Well, do you know what? Actually, Zach had the opportunity when Whitney said, shall we postpone the wedding? Maybe he should have said yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of agreeing to get married within 2 weeks, knowing that you've just slept with your best mate.
Yeah, that probably would have been the best course of action.
Maybe that would be the way around things,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Because then, you know, you're sort of placating Bianca, like, no, do you know what? You're right. I've got, I need to have more time to show you that I'm trustworthy. That would have been the sensible thing to do. Yeah, you're right there. That didn't happen.
No.
That didn't happen whatsoever. It's EastEnders. No one talks sense in EastEnders. So what's the fun in that? So this party kind of goes on. Now, let's talk about this party. Iconic couples is supposed to be the theme, right?
Yes.
Now, I guess there were some sensational costumes on display. Let's not pretend otherwise.
Can I just say that Cindy looked incredible, by the
way?
Cindy
looked amazing.
Didn't
she? Really, really did. She looked stunning, I thought. And so did Chelsea. Did. Like, they both
and Chelsea, definitely.
Which is why Junior sort of went, Yeah, so there were some really stunning costumes on display. And I can't say that I quite understood all of them. Like, I'm not entirely sure why Martin was dressed as a bunch of grapes.
Because he's got a food stall, so, you know.
So what, is that supposed to be the iconic couple, me and my stall?
He hasn't got a couple, has he?
No, I know, but then he could have gone with somebody else. And, like, because Shrimpy turned up dressed as a shrimp.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not
a couple.
That's just going. I know, but that's just going as yourself, which is exactly
what
you're
dressed like a shrimp normally. He's just called Shrimpy.
Just called Shrimpy, but that's the iconic couple thing.
Yeah,
Elaine did decide to come as herself. I was kind of disappointed with that because I was expecting Elaine to have the most spectacular costume of everybody because that seems to be Elaine's.
But
sort of
maybe that was telling of how she was feeling with George at the
feeling.
Time.
I don't want to
dress as a couple with you. Actually, I'm going to come as myself because myself is enough.
Highlight, I think, was Eve dressing as Suki. I'm gutted we didn't see Suki, because apparently Suki looked amazing.
This was a highlight for me.
Yeah.
That was amazing. But then to then say, oh, wait until you see Suki.
And then not show her. Disappointing.
You could have
I would like to have seen Suki. If they genuinely went dressing each other, because I cannot imagine the conversations that had to take place in order for that to happen.
I was really disappointed that we didn't see Suki.
There is. I can almost imagine Suki looking like, go on, I'll meet you there. And then just sort of standing in front of the mirror. If you think I'm being seen in public in this outfit, you've got some double
thing coming.
Like, it's sweet and everything. And Eve looked amazing and hilarious as Suki. But it's a shame we didn't get to see the other half of that. Didn't quite understand Bobby dressed as Simba. Didn't get that.
No,
why was that?
Same.
Why is that? Like, I thought Anna was dressed as some sort of. I'm assuming the pair of them were going with each other, but I didn't.
Well,
quite
was she a lion tamer or something?
See, I thought she was a cowgirl, so I don't know.
But I'm sure she was some kind of.
I think.
But
Priya
was dressed as Beyonce, weren't she?
Oh,
yeah, Beyonce.
Yes, of course she was.
Yeah.
I mean, she looked stunning as well, to be fair.
Yeah, she did.
So, there were some great outfits. I mean, all of them looked pretty
Gina
professional.
Gina and Jay, Brittany and Justin.
Yes. Peter going as Posh and Bex with Chelsea, I think he went with, didn't she? Yeah, because Chelsea went as Posh and Peter.
I thought he was supposed to go with Lauren because Louis told Lauren to dress like
because they
Posh.
Both, Well, either way, Peter did not look like David Beckham. Which I think was a joke, to be fair. Like, oh, you think you look like David Beckham, do you, Peter? And that's very Peter. So, there were some great costumes on display. I loved Billy and Honey dressed as Fred Flintstone and Wilbur Flintstone. That was really, really good. They were all really professional costumes, which the Square can always afford at functions like this.
On hire. Yeah. Can't be that much, can they, surely?
No.
They all look stunning. Costume.
So, the party's underway. Everyone's getting quite drunk. And Zach, by the end of it, is utterly hammered. Whitney and Lauren kind of have a moment where Lauren's sort of like, right, well, if Bianca's forcing me to tell her the truth, then she sort of tries and then bottles it at the last minute. And all she really ends up saying is, Zach's rubbish, he's not right for you. And they kind of pay off and sort of
have an argument. Good enough.
Bianca then goes to tell her the truth and realises that she can't do it either. So the truth's sort of still hanging there in the air. You've got the feeling that at some point something is going to move with this, but it's not yet. Penny then kind of discovers that Lauren and Whitney have had a bit of a falling out. So her solution to that is to lock them both in Bianca's taco van. And we wondered what the point of the taco van was.
Now we know why the taco van was here.
Now we know.
Do you know what? I was getting to a point where I thought it was just there for Whitney's exit and that were going to be a Julia's theme exit driving off in it.
Taco van.
Still could be, actually.
It might still be. It might still be. That would work. That would work a lot. There were some nice throwbacks with Whitney and Bianca this week, I thought, like talking about the bus stop and all that sort of thing. There was some nice stuff there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Whitney and Lauren are sort of like kind of half rowing, half sort of trying to get out of the van. Nobody at any point tries to kick the door in, which would have been my first thought of action. Whitney goes to, and then Lauren goes, wait, you're pregnant. But then doesn't do it herself, which is what I would have said. Like, no, I'll do it. Just stop
true. And find something to at least damage it with,
Yeah. But they sort of just about, they're just getting arguing, and Lauren is about to tell her the truth about what went on between her and Zach, and all of a sudden, in a brutal, in a blunt answer to the question that we had a couple of weeks ago as to whether Whitney was anywhere near labor yet, yes, she is.
Yes.
And it was only 2 weeks out as well. So she perfectly been capable of giving birth in the time that she were. I mean, I thought that it would have been a bit of a sort of surprise if she hadn't have given birth. But I was sort of, I didn't know how far along she was.
Yeah.
She goes into labour in the back of a taco. I mean, of course she does. Did you think she was going to get out, or did you think that this baby was going to be born in a taco van? It would have been one to add to the list of weird places the babies have been born.
I did think it, and then I thought, no, because then they wouldn't, like, Lauren wouldn't have been able to, like, cut the cord. I thought of everything, Rob. They can't have Lauren cutting the cord in the back of a taco van, so surely they're going to get out in time otherwise.
Yes. So they get to the hospital. Bianca manages to get them out of the van. They get to the hospital. After
Whitney broke the window as well to the cab to get
in. Not quite sure.
Right, and sorry, what annoyed me about that is, why would you do that? And then Lauren had to drive it. So did Lauren get really cut because she then had to sit on loads of broken glass? Sorry, I know I'm focusing on the wrong things, but why did she break the... Anyway, that's just what went through my mind. Like, why would you do that? Then you've got to sit in a van full of broken glass.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming the glass got removed at some point before they set off, or maybe half. I don't know. I didn't think about that, to be honest with you.
Well, I did.
Your brain must be a busy place when you're watching an episode of EastEnders sometimes, right?
It really is.
Busy little place. But anyway, they get to the hospital. Now, I'm going to ask you, having given birth yourself.
I had a C-section, so I can't relate.
Oh, that's true. You did, yeah. I was going to ask whether it all looked realistic. Because I can guarantee,
you know,
that if I had come to the hospital with you when you were in labour, I would have been Bianca on the bed taking the gas.
Yeah, probably. Well,
100%.
The only thing I will give them props for is they didn't have a give birth laid down on the bed, which is a common misconception.
I did notice that. I thought that's different. Yeah.
Well, I can tell that they've done the research or something because she was in the UFO position, right?
The UFO, the unidentified flying object position.
Upright, upright, forward, and open is what it stands for, and that is the perfect position for giving birth in.
Is it?
Because you need to have gravity help do its job. So UFO, upright, forward, and open.
I'm not going to say what's going through my head. I'm not going to say it.
Is that, though, in some ways, Rob, because, you know, that is where women give birth from, and there is no shame in that, right?
None whatsoever.
So, props to EastEnders for that, for showing a more realistic birth, because I do believe that Bernie were laid down on bed, and that really wound me up.
Most of them are, aren't they? It seems to be
but these days, they actually tell you that you shouldn't do it. I mean, even when we were born, our mums were probably told to lay down on a bed, but the modern advice now is that you should be in the right position. So I thought it was very realistic. Hence Bianca being on the bed, having the gas and air.
Yeah, having a great time. Bianca, she was loving every second of it. She was off her head.
Yeah,
she was loving life. Did you take gas and air when you had your baby?
I did have some gas and air. It's nice.
Does it take all the pain away, or is it like sort of still there, but it numbs it?
It just makes you
so you don't care. You just don't care for something.
Give me some more of that. Yeah.
It's
lovely. Lovely. And did you know that one of my ancestors founded that? Nitrous oxide. Little side.
Go on.
Oh, sorry. You want me to dive?
You can't just drop in a. By the way, my ancestors founded nitrous oxide and then not tell me any context whatsoever.
One of my nan's relatives did our family tree, and one of my relatives down the line is Sir Humphrey Davy.
And he founded nitrous oxide.
And he founded nitrous oxide. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed that his name was just Humphrey Davy and not Mr. Oxide.
Humphrey Davy.
Yeah, but I thought the whole point of discovering stuff like medication was that you name it after yourself.
The David Lamp, that was him as well. Yeah.
There you go. Fascinating. So there we are.
Sorry, I'm just like my brain today.
Have you been taking gas and air before this?
I wish. I think I need it, if anything.
It must get hold of some of that. It sounds good. Anyway, so where were we? Yes. So Zach, meanwhile, is still at the Vic. Yes. And there was a nice moment. I really liked this. Well, there's a couple of nice moments with that. Number one was when he went upstairs and sort of confronted Linda with his nakedness. Linda was very funny this week.
And then said, I've had sex on this couch.
Yeah.
Zach, yeah. So well.
Yeah, I know. Terrible. While sat there covered in cream. Why was he covered in cream, by the way?
The stripper.
Yeah, I know, but do strippers tend to do that? To cover you in cream?
I don't know. Can't say I've ever been in that situation, Rob.
Got your 40th coming up.
You tell me.
And by the way, I got my 40th coming up, so feel free. Yes.
And really? Would you like one? Because I find them so cringe.
I'm
going to invite your mum and I'll get you on. Sorted.
She'll nick him. They're in her. So they get the call that Whitney's in labour. Yeah. Sharon kind of tells him to put his clothes back on. And Zach's far too drunk to drive anyway. So they have to sort of break. Whose car do they go in? Is it Reese's car?
Reese's. Yeah.
This is really unreliable car that they practically have to use a choke to start up with. And I thought there was a really nice community moment where they all sort of pushed the car. I liked that.
Thought about the entire episode, actually. I really liked it. The like chaos of it all felt really nice, actually.
It was chaotic, wasn't it? It was a very, I agree. That's a good word to describe that episode. It was a very chaotic, confused chaos. And what's the word I'm looking for? Organised chaos, I think we'd describe that episode as, wouldn't you? Yeah, it was very chaotic. But I did like that moment when they were all sort of pushing the car down the street and sort of cheering him on and all that sort of thing. It felt like a community.
It felt like a proper
group of mates.
EastEnders birth episode as well, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Someone's giving birth on EastEnders. But we still had those moments of seriousness from Whitney as well and her being scared and stuff. Yeah, we had, you know, everything else being on.
There was some really nice stuff in there. Yeah. So the baby... We're a bit worried at first. Whitney's very worried because the maternity nurse that she had when Peach was born is also there. I think you would take that as a kind of terrible sign. I understood completely where I head with that. I think that was quite a clever way to do that. It was nice to see the nurse again as well. But Dolly Dean Hudson is born. Yeah. Where did we get the name Dolly from?
I don't know, but you know where
that came from. Whatever. It's like we're going to get to know this kid
vintage type of names are all coming back in at the moment. So maybe it's just that. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. So Whitney, Dolly Dean Hudson has now arrived. She could have chosen an easier name to say. And all seems to be well. And Lauren and Zach kind of have a conversation away from everyone, while the baby's sort of being held for the first time and everything. So, right, nobody is to know that we slept together. There's no reason now for us to tell anybody that we slept together, okay? It's done. It's done. Bianca's going to keep her gob shut. Nobody needs to know. Did you predict what's going to happen? Because I did.
I knew it was going to be someone, but I didn't know it was going
to
be Brittany.
Well, at that moment, I was sort of like, right, the way that they're talking, we're quite close to the duff-duff, so clearly someone's about to overhear this. Everybody else apart from Whitney, and Whitney's in bed, so it must be Brittany. Brittany's about to overhear what went on here. I sort of worded it out just before it happened. But Brittany overheard the entire conversation, so now another person knows the secret, and somebody else who is very attached to Whitney. So I think it's safe to say that Brittany is going to be the one to reveal this now, isn't she?
Yeah, and they've also tried to show to us that, you know, she can slip up on secrets quite easily, Brittany. So is that why they showed us that this week as well? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Just when we thought she might get her happily ever after, eh?
Well, I mean, I don't know quite how much longer we've got Whitney for. But, I mean, how do you see it playing out? Do you think Brittany will hold on to it? I'm trying to work out if there's any reason for Brittany to keep it a secret, apart from the fact that she sees that Whitney's happy. But then she's always kind of got the impression that Zach didn't really want her around anyway, so this kind of gets rid of that.
I don't think she'd have the mature... I think from a 12-year-old perspective, you'd be like, I need to tell her because that's not right. Mm. Rather than understanding the situation of the timing, maybe not being right to tell her. But also, if you look at it very black and white, someone should tell her, in fairness. I think it's all going to come out on wedding day.
I think it hasn't come out on the hand/stag do. I think the wedding is now where it's going to happen, isn't it? So that's going to be some exciting episodes. Mm. Whitney will be going out with a bang. I hope she has some element of happiness. Now we know that the baby's fine, everything's fine with the birth. Mm. There is something happy for her.
Is she
going to
be able to forgive Bianca when she finds out that she's known all this time as well? Because we were expecting that she were going to go live with her, will she?
Mm-hmm.
When she knows that she knew all that time?
We know nothing yet.
Sorry, a moment where I genuinely teared up was when Whitney were in the middle of giving birth and then said to Bianca, I love you, Mum.
Nice moment. Nice moment. Mm. So, yeah, some exciting stuff this week and some interesting stuff to sort of take us going forward into the following weeks. Question remains, Ree, who's your gold star going to this week?
Well, I think this week I'm going to have to give it to Queen Elaine for standing up for herself.
Oh, that's who I was going to give it to. Do you know who I'm going to give it to? And people won't agree with this, but I don't care. I like him. I'm going to give it to Nugget. I think he had a great week as a character. I really enjoyed Nugget's story this week, so I'm going to give it to Nugget. So
I mean, you're not condoning all of his behaviour, but I think that's a fair enough gold star.
I remember when we gave his gold star to Theo when we discovered that he was a stalker, and I don't think we were condoning that behaviour either.
I'm pretty sure I've given it to Nish or someone as well.
We've given him one to Eddie before. Hey, we're flawed human beings. What can you say?
There are worse people to have given it to, Rob.
There is. So I could have given it to Ebony. You know, that would have been terrible. Right, there we are then. That was this week's EastEnders. Good week. Enjoyed it. Looking forward to seeing what kind of kicks off from the events of this week next week. As usual, ladies and gents, we finish the podcast with some comments from you guys.
We've had a comment from our Instagram page from Casey Ray Bowden, who says, this week has been proper classic EastEnders drama and humour. I've loved Kat and Alfie together. He brings the funny side out of her. Phil made her so miserable and took her identity away, so I'm hoping that they do get back together.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Something we missed out as well, it was just a little moment that we had this week with Kat and Alfie, weren't it?
Yeah, there was a couple of scenes of Kat and Alfie and Tommy sort of trying to bring them together. We didn't talk about that. It feels like this was inevitable at some point, doesn't it? I'm glad that they've held off on it though. It was going to happen always at some point, but I feel like just bringing Alfie back just to get back with Kat, I think, seeing as Kat has moved on quite a bit as a character in Alfie's absence.
Do you think her and Phil are fully over? They're never going to get back together now.
Seems to be. Liked them in the end. Yeah, so did I by the end. Yeah, they all the way through, I was kind of like, I shouldn't like them as much as I do, but they are quite well. They are weirdly working together. And they got a good run, I think. They were together for nearly 2-3 years. So it was a good run, but it kind of does feel like there's no reason for her not to get back with Alfie now, I feel like. And I think Phil will be able to win around again. And then where does this leave Phil and Sharon? Are they going to get back together again now?
That's true, because they'll be co-parenting as well, won't they? So, yeah.
And then once that square is complete again, will either of them
glitter
back?
Yeah, straight in. Yes. Oh,
back
there we
the
go.
Square. Yep. There you go. Yep. There you go. Karen Cowlier said, way to go, Elaine. How refreshing to see a female character on EastEnders stand up for herself and preserve her dignity and self-respect. Harriet Thorpe continues to amaze with her portrayal of Elaine, showing as a multifaceted woman who slowly but surely is becoming an iconic member of the EastEnders family. May the writers continue to do her justice. Yes, Elaine, you matter. Yes. I love Elaine. I really, really, really do.
I wasn't sure about her at first. And you kept telling me, no, stick with her. You were right, Rob.
I know some people find her over the top, but I would ask those people to go back and have a little look on Peggy's history and look how over the top Peggy could be at times. Now, I loved Peggy with all my heart, and that woman was the bread and butter of EastEnders for many, many years. But she was over the top. So I love Elaine. And I like that we're slowly getting these sort of sad layers sort of peeled back from Elaine. The whole thing going on with Linda. And the sort of talking about her having a mask on stage this week. It's good stuff. It really, really is.
Also worth mentioning, Rob posted a link to Harriet Thorpe's interview on this morning on our Facebook page. Give it a watch. It's a really nice interview, actually.
And what's the website to find that interview on, Ray?
www.youtube.com.
Have a look. next comment?
Next comment is from OMZ21, who says, I love the parallels between them pushing the car so Zach can get to his baby and Whitney pushing to get her baby out.
I never saw that.
I didn't until I just read that comment. I'd not noticed it. Yeah.
Was that deliberate, do you think?
Surely. Yeah, it must have been.
That's quite clever. Brilliant. Yeah, those things. Yeah. So honestly, some of those things just go completely over my head.
Same. I didn't realise either, yeah.
Call myself a fan. Finally, Lauren Charles has said, this guest stint of Bianca back on the square has been a joy to watch, reminding viewers of just how iconic the character has always been. The image of Bianca slapping Lauren and Zach should be painted and hung in a museum. Her confidence with hooking up with Junior was admirable, and the moment with Gas and Air was relatable and hilarious. We'll miss them on the screen for sure. I'm really pleased Patsy Palmer came back for Whitney's final storyline. It's worked extremely well. I'd agree with that, but I also feel like I'd quite like Bianca just to stick around now.
Yeah, totally. I'm a massive Bianca fan.
I'll be perfectly honest, controversial opinion. Bianca has never been my favourite character in the past few years, as she sort of kind of flitted, kind of come backwards and forwards, I've really grown to love her. I knew what she was about. Don't get me wrong, I'm not discovering new things about Bianca, but I've sort of grown to love her a lot more as sort of time's gone on.
Well, maybe it's good that she does these, you know, little intervals rather than permanent, because then you appreciate her a bit more when she does come back.
Yeah. But then I started watching the 2008 uploads on iPlayer, where Bianca is a regular character and she's still around with Ricky, and Whitney's just arrived and they're sort of doing the whole Tony storyline and everything. And she's great there. So I think one of those characters I think I've appreciated as I've got older, rather than as when I was younger. I just saw her as a gobby chap. You know what I mean? I think I've grown to appreciate her as a character.
It's a lot deeper than that, is our Bianca, but that's what people see on the surface, isn't it?
See, just bring Carol back now, and then that little thing is complete. I'd love Carol to come back. I love Carol. Right, ladies and gents, that's it for this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us and leave us any comments or questions, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark. All right, yes. Rob. I'm out, you know.
No,
Rob were mocking me the entire time I was saying that. But he covers that screen up by putting it, you know, putting all that writing on.
What you don't see. Right, ladies and gents, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you the same time next week. I think there's stuff kicking off next week, Ray. I shan't spoil it. But I think we've got some returns next week. More than one, I think, as well. Join us for that next time. And until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Toodle-pip. Bye. Adios. Au revoir.